Think back to the last film that you saw by a Chinese filmmaker with a Chinese cast depicting some aspect of Chinese life. If one came to mind, maybe it was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or House of Flying Daggers, maybe Farewell, My Concubine. One thing all those films have in common, along with most Chinese films we get here in the States, is that they don't really show us anything about modern life in the People's Republic of China. Those realities are often left to China's independent filmmakers, a scene not just underground in mainland China, but technically illegal. That's because some of what's depicted in these films doesn't quite jibe with the Communist Party line. But some independent films are starting to make it into American markets, offering for the first time a candid look behind China's bamboo curtain. Jian Yi is an independent filmmaker based in Beijing. He's the director of the new feature documentary called Supergirls, currently screening around the country. And he joins us here in the studio along with Karen Chien. She's the president of Degenerate Films, a New York-based distributor of independent Chinese films. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thank you. It's our pleasure to be here.
Thanks for having us.
I want to start with you, Jian Yi. Your film Supergirls follows some 80,000 young girls who are dreaming of being on this show, Supergirl Singing Contest. So naturally, in America, we think, oh, this is like Chinese American Idol. Is that essentially what it's like?
The Supergirl Singing Contest was modeled on the Pop Idol in the UK and American Idol in the US. So it started in 2004 at a TV program in the province. And it was very successful. So they made it a national program on 2005. And in 2005, it was so successful that 400 million people watch it.
400 million people?
Wow. Yeah, in that year.
Huh.
And then the champion of that year appeared on the cover of the Time magazine and became one of the 10 or 20 Asian heroes of that year.
Let's kind of set the scene a little bit. Let's play a clip of some of the girls warming up for their audition performances. And the songs, they sing everything. They sing everything from Chinese pop to American pop hits, even rap. Let's take a listen.
Have you gotten over? Have you started a brand new life? Have you met somebody, someone who's starting there, someone unlike me?
为什么他竟然爱上他，这到底在想什么？他是否知道帅哥不能爱是什么？让他忘了放纵，不知道该做什么。我说的怎么可能？我们都需要勇气，去相信，会在一起。人潮拥挤，我能感觉你放在。So there, we just heard a lot of different kinds of music. I mean, we heard people singing in English. We heard some rapping. It's a wide range. It was such a popular show that so many people voted and participated in this that there was a lot of writing that happened that said, oh, this is the most democracy that China has seen ever.
Well, it is one of the most important cultural phenomena in the recent years. It's a TV program that has a democratic aspect to it. In part of my show, I filmed how the girls were rallying votes for their heroes on the street. You know, this is something that when I was filming it, I was very, very surprised. I'm impressed because, you know, never before in my life had I seen anyone rallying any votes on the street, you know, in a very spontaneous way.
Campaigning, essentially.
Yeah, like campaigning. I've never seen that before.
Why did you decide that this would make a good idea for a film to follow these, you say, 10 or so people who are taking part in this? What triggered your imagination?
I think even in the independent filmmaking world, people tend to make films more about the marginalized people and underprivileged people, which I think is very important, you know, to represent their voices. But the thing is that, you know, then, on the other hand, the mainstream culture in China is somehow underrepresented because, you know, you either see the mainstream Chinese culture from the government channel or you don't see much from an independent perspective. This show was on in 2005, was very popular, and it started in June, and many of my friends were watching it, and I thought, you know, at the beginning I thought it was too vulgar to watch it, you know, just, you know, terribly superficial. Although it seemed to me very girlish, very, you know, it's only for girls, it's not like the American Idol, it's for both gender. And then I watched one of the shows in July, and my butt was glued to the couch for the rest of the season.
So why? What was so compelling about it that time?
Because I've never seen such spontaneous things before. And I've never seen such participation in a TV show before.
Huh.
So, you know, I also, you know, I've never voted in my life for anyone. But I, you know, in that year, I started voting for the girl I liked, the singer I liked.
describe that feeling.
You feel you can make a difference. You know, you feel like never before that you can make a difference. Hmm. You know, in somebody else's life, and you know your vote counts. That's how you felt. You know, I don't know what
how
is really behind
is, yeah.
the scene, but that's how you felt.
Well, let's talk about how this show can potentially change someone's life. You mentioned the winner in 2005 was on the cover of Time magazine and was made a national star. What are the motivations that these girls have? The best case scenario would be what? They would be a major Chinese pop star, or do they get a record deal?
The thing is that once you win, once you become one of the top 10 of the national final, you have to sign a contract with a TV station. It's compulsory. I don't remember, it's 10 years or 20 years. So for
that
the next
seriously
10 or
changes
yeah,
your life.
Yeah, for the next 10 or 20 years, you are on a contract with this TV station.
What has been the reception? You've been touring around the States and screening the film at different universities. How have people reacted to it?
I think most of them were very surprised to see China in that kind of perspective. You know, many of them commented saying that, you know, this is not very different than America or than the American Idol.
I want to bring Karen into the conversation to talk a little more about some of the obstacles involved in independent filmmaking in China. In the intro to this segment, we referenced the fact that doing this, independent filmmaking, is technically illegal. Can you explain that?
The filmmaking industry in China is governed in a large part by the state, as are other businesses in China. And in order to get a film made, the script has to go through the censorship board and the approval, as well as the final film. You know, you need permits from the government, so on and so forth. So the act of making a film has to be approved each step of the way by the government. So when you are making a film about content that the government might find unpleasant or disagreeable in some way, you're not going to necessarily get that approval.
So, Jian, how have you dealt with that? I mean, have you felt like people have been monitoring your work?
No.
Since you're operating
no.
under the radar, so to speak.
No. I think the government thinks that people don't watch documentaries anyway.
Oh, they think they're irrelevant.
So, yeah. So, you know, they think people don't watch documentaries anyway. So they don't monitor it as much.
I mean, in essence, filmmaking, independent filmmaking in China is, quote unquote, underground. There's a whole system of production, distribution, exhibition that is under the radar, I would say. For example, the way that a lot of documentaries are made, it really is literally just one person. I mean, here in the States, it might be five people, but you're just talking about the filmmaker, and that's it. So if you have a filmmaker running around with a mini DV camera, you know, it's pretty much under the radar. The films, I would say, don't have a huge chance to get outside the country other than through programmers, festival programmers mm-hmm. that are looking for content, actively looking for content in China, or sometimes visiting scholars. And also through cultural institutions. I think that Europe and other parts of the world are much farther ahead than the U.S. is in terms of sourcing content from China or showing interest in independent films from China. So I think that
why is that?
I think that's a good question. I actually went to China and started asking people that too. And I said, why are there no Americans here looking for your films? Because it's very fascinating what's happening in independent film in China right now. It's very new. There's very little infrastructure. The cinema that's happening is very risk-taking. The content's very interesting. There's a huge amount of interest in China, in the U.S., but there's maybe just a mental obstacle into getting into China. And I spoke to a number of American distributors and asked them if they're looking at Chinese content. And their answer was usually, no, we already already are sourcing content from Hong Kong and Japan and Korea, which of course does not speak to the kind of content that's coming out of mainland China.
What are the films that we're getting as American film consumers? And what is that telling us about China?
We get maybe the one independent filmmaker whose films come to the U.S., by the name of Jia Zhangke, and his films, you know, they win prizes at Venice, and, you know, he has a film at Cannes this year, so he's probably the most internationally recognized independent filmmaker in China right now. On top of his maybe one film every 2 years that we get, we also see, you know, films that really are martial arts spectacles, epics, historical epics. You know, I kind of feel like we know much more about China in the last few centuries than we do about China in the last few decades.
Are they reinforcing or debunking stereotypes that Americans have about China?
Those films are definitely not spreading information about what China is like, I would say, on a diverse level. you know, when you watch a martial arts film, what is that? What does Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon really tell you about China, especially modern day China? I mean, absolutely nothing about modern day China.
I want to thank both of you for coming in. We really appreciate it. Jian Yi is an independent filmmaker based in Beijing. He's the director of the new feature documentary Supergirls. And Karen Chien is the president of Degenerate Films, a New York-based distributor of independent Chinese films. Thanks to you both for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.